Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honour unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labours be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and on this Friday, we're going to turn to another children's message. It's the story of the lost son, one of the most popular or best known parables told by our Lord Jesus. I hope that you will get right into the meaning of the boy who was lost but is found.
Boys and girls, I have to tell you the third story today, and that is on the prodigal son, about one of the most happiest families you could imagine. A father and his two boys. There's no mention of a mother, but we may assume there must have been a mother at some point. And they had a farm, they had servants, they had lots of good things in life. And one day the younger boy said to his father, Father, I want my inheritance, all the possessions that are mine, please give me. And strangely enough, the father complied and he gave to his youngest boy all of his inheritance. And at that point, and this is the sneaky part, this hit me as I read over the story again, this is the sneaky part, that the boy didn't seem to divulge at first why he wanted his inheritance at that point. But a short time later, he packed up and said goodbye. Now, I can some way imagine the heartache that that caused to his father. Now, the goodness of the father to his son to try and, you know, make him feel loved and cared for was outstanding. But that son turned his back on all of that. And I can see that his father felt greatly rejected, hurt, pained inside, to think my boy, who is growing up and we've cared for, and now he's leaving not only himself, but he's taking half the inheritance with him. That must have been very hard. And off the boy went. And in short time, after he got the money, he spent the money, he had no money, and then he needed money. And that brought him down to the area of feeding the swine in a far country. All his friends forsook him. There was a famine in the land. There was great starvation. and he was left feeding the pigs. Now, I had thought of bringing a little object today, of filling a clear plastic bag with the things that a pig would eat, the slop. You know that bucket that might be under your kitchen sink, where you put all those unwanted things, those dregs of coffee, maybe tea bags that are all mushed up, hard crusts, crushed eggshells, blackened banana skins, drops of sour milk, and rotting cabbage, and all of those things. And then it comes to the point where Mom says, "Get this garbage out of here, it stinks." And so what do? You take it out to the green compost bin and you dump it in, and you feel like holding your nose as you lift that lid and dump it all in. Well, this boy was reduced to pondering, could I eat that? Because he was so terribly hungry. Could you imagine getting your Sunday lunch out of the green compost bin when you go home? That's where that boy was at. He had come to an all-time low. Now, while he was in that desperate state, the Bible says that he came to himself. He began to think in a different way. He began to remember about the good times in his home, the love of his father and mother and brother and the servants. And there was never a day of hunger there. There was plenty. And then he began to think, I can't go back. If I go back, my father will be so angry. He'll be so mad. I turned my back on him. I have brought shame and disgrace to the whole family. I dare not go back. Then he hit the idea, if I go back as a servant, I will not expect him to make me a son, but I will go back as a servant, and I will labor and work all my days, even just to eat. Wouldn't that be better than being here with these pigs and looking at their food and wishing that I was a pig, that I could eat this stuff? And so he decided to go back. And all the way back on that journey home, he wondered, what's my dad going to say? Will he even open the door to me? Will he even want me back? What kind of boy have I been? And he felt the shame of his doings. He felt he had been such a fool. And that was a spirit of repentance that was growing within his heart. And it's that inner repentance that brings everyone to the place where they think differently. Repentance really is a change of mind. It's a change in the way we think. When we are born into this world and we live as an unsaved person, we think the world is great. We want to get out of that far country. We want to enjoy all of those things that you hear about. You want to get away from the routine and the average and learn to get excitement. And then you soon discover that the world is, well, it's like a bag full of holes. And your money's gone and your hope is gone. And you're in a desperate state, and sin never pays well. The wages of sin is death. And all of these thoughts came into the heart of this boy, and he wondered, what will my father do to me when I go back? It all hinges on what my father's attitude is. But what else can I do? He believed it was the right thing to do. And so he began his journey. And remember, he'd been in a far country, so it must have taken a considerable time to make his way back. And then at one point, the farm came into view. Maybe up over a hill and looking over, there it is, there it is. And as he looked at his home, he saw something nearer at the edge of the farm. And as he walked a little further, he realized this is a person. And as he got closer and closer, he realized, that's my father. What's he going to do to me? And he got closer and closer. And when the father saw him, the father began to run toward him. This is the pivotal moment. What's going to happen now? This is either going to be ruin or remedy. And the Bible tells us and makes a very strong point of this, that his father ran toward him, hugged him, and kissed him. What mercy. What mercy. And then the son began to explain, Dad, could I become a servant? I don't deserve to be a son anymore. I've brought shame. I've done such stupid things. I've sinned against you in heaven. How can I ever be a son again? And the father didn't even answer that. He didn't even entertain that question. But he said to the servant, fetch a ring. Let's put it on his finger. Wow. The ring is like an agreement. It's a covenant. It's a sure token of kindness. And bring shoes. The poor boy was barefooted, and I'm sure hurting after all that journey. Put shoes on. Comfort him. And bring a robe and clothe him. Oh, what an amazing response by the father. And you know what this is all about, don't you? This was all targeted to the Pharisees, who had criticized the Lord Jesus that he had eaten with and received sinners. And the Lord Jesus was demonstrating the heart of God, the heart of the Father to repentant sinners. That God, while he is angry at sin, and he is a God who judges sin, but when there is repentance in a sinner's heart, there is an immediate change and an immediate acceptance in the heart of God. That's the gospel. And to demonstrate it further, he said to his servants, get the fatted calf, prepare it, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for this my son was lost, but is found. And they had a party. That son never expected such a dramatic, merciful response. But the story lets us know that the God whom we worship and serve is full of mercy, full of acceptance. And he receives us fully. A ring on our finger, shoes on our feet, and a robe that lets everybody know, this is my beloved son. Do you feel that way today? Oh, I know we've all sinned. But when we repent and we plead grace and mercy, we are accepted in the beloved. Now, there's someone here today and you are so far away from God and you're wondering, can I come? Can I be saved? Can I have God's mercy? Will you repent? That's your responsibility. Turn to the Lord and he will have mercy upon you. Please do that today and you will have all the favor and all.
Come to our Friday Focus, and I just want to give you a little review of my week. Last Sunday was a full day. The attendance both morning and evening were at max due to the allowed numbers as per the guidelines at present. It was a great Sunday in the Lord's house with those of like precious faith. We have a happy congregation, and I read Psalm 4 at the commencement of the morning service. And right down in verse 7, the psalmist said, Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Then I prayed for all to have happy hearts in the house of the Lord. To the boys and girls I told the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. I think mums and dads got the message too, that we cannot just talk the talk of being a Christian. We must also be doers of God's commands and be obedient disciples of Christ, that we may enter into the kingdom of our Father. My wife and I spoke with our son in Toronto, who is taking his turn in the ICU at Toronto General Hospital. I was glad to know that the numbers of seriously sick people with COVID-19 has been going down. I also had a call from our dear sister Arlene, who has been in hospital through this lockdown. Surely the very worst place to be in these times is the hospital. The place that is to heal can be a killer. We have to say, though, that the doctors and nurses do amazing work while they live with the threat 24/7 in and out of their shifts. Pray for Arlene that she will be well enough soon to go home after 8 months in hospital. One of our churches suffered a great tragedy this week. A mother of a grown family and of many grandchildren drowned while on vacation. Pray for her husband, Jerry, who survives his dear wife, and he serves as an elder in the Trinity FPC in Alabama. God's ways are certainly mysterious. As the Bible says, God's ways are not our ways. His time to call his child home to glory would not be ours. But we can be sure that the all-knowing and all-wise God has a perfect plan for that family. One day, sooner than we may think, we will know the reason why. Remember how the Lord Jesus said in John 13:7, "What I do thou knowest not now, but shall know hereafter." Praise God for the hereafter, when the final chapter is written. Then we will know even as we are known. Then we will have total gladness in our hearts. Let us pray for happy hearts ourselves, and pray for the sorrowing, that they too will have glad hearts in knowing the Lord, and that their names will be written in heaven. That is true gladness. What about it, friend? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If so, be glad every hour of every day that you are saved and will never be in hell. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, go to the Lord today for mercy, and you will be saved. Remember Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. May the Lord bless you today. We're going to move now for the remaining time to our short message on the Holy Spirit, the Christian's guide. Stay tuned as we go to our pulpit ministry. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, this is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Recently, I just gave a message on the work and ministry of God the Holy Spirit in John 16. We are told here in verse 13, the Lord Jesus said, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." It is a tremendous concept that just as the Lord Jesus came into the world to reveal the Father, and he exalted the Father, so the Holy Spirit is come to exalt the Lord Jesus and to reveal him unto the hearts of men. Now on earth, the Lord Jesus was the great teacher of his disciples, and he spent a great deal of his 3-year public ministry instructing his disciples and others how to be right with God and how to walk with God. But then the Lord revealed to his disciples that he was going away, that he would be leaving this world, ascending to the Father, and he promised that he would send another teacher, another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the promise that the Lord Jesus gave. And so the Holy Spirit himself is the minister of absolute truth. Now that is greatly contested in these days of modernism, because people don't like to think that there is absolute truth. They like to think of it more abstractly, that it is subjective according to the individual. But facts are facts and truths are truths, and they are stubborn things that don't go away. And we have to recognize that we deal with God as he is, and with the world around us as it is, and with the Bible as God has revealed himself. Now, there are many examples of the Holy Spirit's teaching. He has given us the Scriptures, which is the Word by inspiration. And we know in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-inspired. And in 2 Peter 1:19, holy men were moved to write the Scriptures of truth. And so we have this book that is inspired. The other part of the Holy Spirit's teaching is illumination. So you have inspiration that has given us the Bible, and you have illumination that is the operation of the Spirit upon the hearts and minds of the Bible student. And we are promised that as we open the book, as we search the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. We have a great many examples of this in the New Testament. We have Nicodemus coming to the Lord by night. He is convinced that he is sent by God. He calls Jesus teacher, and immediately the Lord speaks of him that he must be born again, that we have no idea of the kingdom of God. That means the mind is darkened, the heart is filled with unbelief and confusion until the light of the Holy Spirit shines into the heart. We find that again taught by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verse 12. I just want to read that to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And so here is the requirement for the teacher to open the book. Another example is Lydia, that when she was at that riverside at the prayer meeting where prayer was wont to be made, that we read in Acts 16:14 that the Lord opened her heart, which simply means that the Lord gave her an understanding, a comprehension of divine truth. And that's always required when God moves to save sinners. There must be an opening of that blinded eyes to behold the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Now, here in verse 14, it says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them." And so here is the work of God by his Spirit, revealing his truth, making men to comprehend the message of the gospel. And of course, you can pray for the Holy Spirit to come and minister unto you and minister through you. You can call upon the Lord who has promised the Holy Spirit to come. And when you ask, and you ask in faith, the Lord is pleased to send you that personal teacher that you need within your own soul. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Son. He is also the promise of the Father, and you can claim his ministry to your own heart. And as you do so, you will be enlightened. You will be given an understanding, like the men on the road to Emmaus, whose hearts burned within them as the Lord Jesus spoke to them by the way. Now, there is a text that talks about the knowledge that passeth knowledge, wisdom and understanding that passeth knowledge. And that is something that goes beyond us. It's like the ball hit out of the park, and it goes beyond our natural range. The Holy Spirit gives the believer the capacity to receive, to accept and comprehend the wonderful message of the gospel. And so you need to have that ministry of the Spirit of God within your own heart, within your own soul, that you may be brought to faith in the Lord Jesus. And that's my prayer, that God will enlighten you and lead you to a true understanding of the book, of the gospel, and to trust in the Lord Jesus. If I can be of personal help, be sure to give me a call and to let me know. Thank you for tuning in today. We're moving now to the closing announcements.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca.
You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.